Scene 2, The Soul's Awakening. A mountain landscape. In the distance, the house of Hilary, near the workshops which are not visible. There is a waterfall on the right side. Johannes is present, also Capacius, who is not visible to Johannes. Johannes. The piled-up, towering forms, whose silent life fills widths of space with sculptured riddles, can never pain with questions, never deaden him who wishes not to think, but blessedly alive to look upon the sense-world's revelation. Around the rocky masses here, what weaving streams of light! And there the mute existence of bare walls, woods that dimly fade from green to blue. This is the world in which Johannes's soul would like to linger, weaving images of things to be. Johannes's soul should draw into itself and feel the depth, the wideness of this world. Creative powers should unloose from out his soul the power by which his in art transfigured radiance, the world's spellbinding glory, moves men's hearts. But this Johannes never could accomplish had not Maria... Say it again. But this Johannes never could accomplish had not Maria lovingly aroused his inner forces with her gentle warmth. I praise my destiny's wise guidance that brought me near to her. How short the time that we have been together, how close the bond uniting within weeks Johannes's soul with hers. She lives in me as spirit, even when afar. She thinks within my thinking when I call forth before my soul the goals of my own willing. Maria appears as a thought of Johannes. Maria, here with me? How strange she is! She should not show herself to me like this, her face so spiritually stern, her dignity, it chills my earthly feeling. Johannes will not, cannot see her coming near like this. It cannot be Maria, whom wise powers once brought through destiny's kind providence to me. Maria disappears from Johannes's vision. But she who loved Johannes, before she changed his soul and led it to the coldness of spirit heights, oh, where is she? Where is Johannes too who loved Maria? Where is he now? He was just here. I cannot see Johannes, who with joy was giving me myself back to myself. The past so cruelly cannot, must not, rob him from myself. Maria becomes again visible for Johannes. Maria. Maria, as you desire to see her, does not exist in worlds where truth is radiant. Johannes's spirit weaves in regions of deceit, enticed by soul illusions. Free yourself from these desires and their alluring power. I feel your storm of soul in me. It robs me of the calmness which I need. The one who sends such storms into my soul is not Johannes. It is another being whom long ago he conquered in himself. As phantom now, it roams through realms of spirit. Oh, recognize it, for then it will dissolve to nothingness. Johannes. This is Maria as she is in truth. She speaks about Johannes as he seems at present in reality to be. Long since he rose to quite a different life than the illusionary play of dreams depicts it now, for I've allowed in laziness my soul to muse in twilight comfort. And yet this life does not hold fast my being. I still can flee from it. I'll do so now. It calls me often. It wants with all its power to win me for myself. But still I feel the urge to free myself. Long years ago it filled my soul depths with reality of spirit, and yet I do not want to recognize it now in me. You, stranger being in Johannes' soul, leave me alone. Oh, give me back unto myself as I once was before you worked so actively within me. I will behold Johannes freed from you. Benedictus appears at the side of Maria, also as a thought of Johannes. Benedictus, Johannes, heed the warning of your soul. The One who, kindling you with spirit, rises within you as your own being's primal power, must faithfully hold sway beside you. He must demand that you bring forth as man, within your willing, forces of his being. Hidden within you must he work, so that you reach in future what you know to be your being's distant goal. Your cares and sorrows you must take through life, locked fast within your inmost soul. You'll gain yourself if evermore you'll let yourself be seized courageously by him. Maria, my holy solemn vow, raise forth new strength to hold for you what you have gained, and you will find me in cold fields of ice, where spirits must themselves create the light when darknesses disable powers of life. Seek me in grounds of worlds where souls must struggle to achieve their feelings for the gods, victoriously wrestling being from the void. But never seek me in the realm of shades, where worn-out soul experience gains by tricks a fleeting life through self-illusion, where phantom images beguile the dreamer, because in pleasure he forgets himself and looks on serious efforts with distaste. Benedictus and Maria disappear. Johannes, she speaks about illusion, and yet how lovely this illusion is. It is alive. Johannes feels himself in it. He feels Maria's nearness in it too. Johannes does not want to know how spirit can solve the riddles in dark depths of soul, but he will work, he will create as artist. So let in him stay buried what only wants to look at cosmic heights with consciousness. He sinks into further musing. Capacius rises from his seat, shaking himself awake as if out of deep contemplation. Capacius, have I not been aware quite clearly what in Johannes, musing there in dream, has shaped itself as image of his longing? Thoughts flamed up within, which did not come from me, which only he could shape. There lived in me the being of his soul. I saw him young again as he perceived himself through spirit error, and as he blamed with spite the ripened fruits of his own spirit. But wait, why am I now aware of this? For seldom may the spirit searcher see within himself the life of other souls. From Benedictus have I heard it said that one alone can do this, for a while, the man whom gracious destiny ordains to be upraised one further step upon the spirit path. Can I interpret thus the happening I experienced just now? How seldom, truly, should this ever happen? How dreadful for the seer to have to listen at all times to the inward life of others! Did I behold the truth? Or did illusion cause me to dream of other soul existence? From Johannes must I beg the answer. Capacius approaches Johannes, who notices him for the first time. Johannes, Capacius, I thought you far away. Capacius, my soul, however, has felt close to you. Johannes, not close to me just now, surely not. Capacius, why do you shudder at these words of mine? Johannes, oh, no, not shudder. At this moment Maria joins them. This enables Johannes and Capacius each to speak to himself. Johannes, to himself, it is his glance that pierces to the bottom of my soul. Capacius, to himself, his shudder shows me that I saw the truth. He turns to Maria. You come, Maria, at a fitting time. Perhaps your word will help to solve the riddle whose solemn weight is so oppressing me. Maria, I thought to find Johannes here, not you. Foreboding brought me first to him to seek the riddle's weight. But you, I thought, content, devoted to the enterprising plan which Hilary is offering to us. Capacius, this plan, for me, it has no meaning. It's disturbing. Maria. Disturbing? Were you not overjoyed to think your hopes might now be realized?
Capasius.
What in this fateful hour I just lived through has fully changed the purpose of my soul. Now every earth activity and work would rob me of my wakened seer forces.
Maria.
The one allowed to tread the paths of spirit finds many a hint to shape his destiny. These hints he'll follow on his paths of soul, and yet he could interpret them quite wrongly should they disturb his duties here on earth.
Capasius sits down and falls into a short contemplation while Maria experiences the appearance of Lucifer.
Lucifer, your urging will not yield to you much fruit. Forces are stirring there within his heart, which open portals of his soul to me. Maria, now direct your strength of vision into his depths of soul. See how he frees himself on wings of spirit from earthly work of yours enwarmed by love.
Lucifer remains in the landscape. Maria turns herself quite distinctly to Capasius to rouse him from his musing, but he seems at the same moment to shake himself out of it.
Maria, that Johannes, on the spirit path, should feel tormented by his duty's earthly nature would seem not justified, but understandable, for his creative mind must serve the outer work. But you should bring to others spirit knowledge without a step, thus out of your soul orbit.
Capasius, the power of spirit can waste itself in words far more than when it works in outward action. For words would have us grasp what we perceive, yet concepts are opposed to powers of vision. I had a spirit vision even now, which could reveal another human soul, only because, though we are close in friendship, my earthly nature never understood him. If this experience is real, no longer can I be bound to any earth activities. For I must feel that higher powers now have pointed out quite other aims for me than those that Hilary has in mind.
He confronts Johannes. Johannes, tell me, frankly, did you not, just now, when you were lost in quiet musing, experience outlived desires of yours as if they were your present self?
Johannes, my spirit's own confusion, can it form an active life within another soul? And can his vision make my error strong, that it can find the way to world becoming?
Johannes falls again into musing. Maria turns her glance to Lucifer and hears him speak.
Lucifer, here, too, I find soul portals opened wide. I will not hesitate, will use my chance. If in this soul, too, spirit wish arises, then must the deed of love be forfeited, which threatens me, through Hilary, with danger. Through this desire I can destroy Maria's strength. Then all that she achieves falls to my power.
Exit Lucifer. At this moment Capasius straightens himself up within a consciousness of self, and in the course of the following speech acquires an ever more positive mood.
Capasius, there is no doubt that what I saw was true. I was allowed to see Johannes's inner life. Now it is clear. He could reveal his world only because my own had no desire to come near to his world with comprehension. The spirit path demands its solitude. Only such men can work together who face each other comprehendingly. The soul remote from human beings reaches the wide horizons of the worlds of light.
I find in Father Felix an example. He seeks on paths quite strange to others in proud seclusion for the light of spirit. His searching was rewarded with success, because he always kept himself aloof from all in man that merely comprehends. I'll strive now further on this path, on his path. Your work that weighs down visionary force with earthiness no longer will entice Capasius.
Exits.
Maria. This happens when a person's better self sinks into spirit sleep, and powers of desire can feed his nature till a new awakening rays light into his spirit being.
It is the sleep that all men sleep before the force of seership awakens them. They notice nothing of this waking sleep. They seem awake because they always sleep. The seer sleeps when he must bring himself into this waking sleep out of his true existence. Capacious will now forsake us. It is no fleeting whim. His inner state draws him away from us and from our goals. It is not he who turns himself from us. One sees the stern decree of destiny. So must we others then rededicate more strongly all our forces to the work. Johannes. Maria, do not ask it of Johannes that he prepare himself at such a time for further goals. His soul needs, like Capacius, the spirit sleep, that it may bring to full maturity its germinating powers. I know that in the future I will dare to work for spirit worlds, but we do not now demand that I am active. Ask not now. Consider that I drove away Capacius. Were I now ready for the work, he would be too. Maria, you drove away Capacius? You? You're dreaming. Johannes, I dreamed while conscious, was awake while dreaming. What would to cosmic power seem illusion has been to me a symbol of my growth. I know that my desire was I myself. My thinking only was another self. Johannes stood before my soul as he once was, before the Spirit laid its hold on him and filled him with the second self. Johannes is not dead. His live desires have made him the companion of my soul. I may have numbed, but have not conquered him. His natural right to be, he claims whenever that other self must sink in sleep. Always to be awake is far beyond his strength. It was asleep, too, at the time in which Capacius could experience in himself this other self that tears me from myself. To him, my dreaming was a hint of destiny, and so there works in me and not in him a force that, driving him away, forbids us to turn our minds to earth activities. Maria, the spirit powers are coming. Summon them. To cosmic spirit sources, turn your gaze, and wait until the forces in those depths perceive that part of your true self which stirs in kinship to their being. They'll conjure up before your inner eyes the bond which grows from you to them. Forswear your own mind's dissonance. Your spirit then will speak with spirit beings, and listening will heed this spirit speech. It will convey you into spheres of light, uniting you with spirit entities. What dawns on you from times long past will then grow clear to you, distinct in cosmic light, and will not force you, for you can direct it. Compare it with the elemental beings, with shadows and with phantoms of all kinds. Confront it, too, with demons manifold, and so discover what it signifies. But root yourself within the realm of spirits, who binding primal source to primal source are close to cosmic germinating powers and give direction to the thoughts of spheres. Such vision of the worlds will give you strength amid the surging spirit waves to join this essence of existence with your soul's core. The Spirit has commanded me that I should make this known to you myself. Hear now what you are conscious of, but have not yet united with your soul depths. Johannes, he collects himself for a determined effort. I will hear. I'll dare to bid defiance to myself. From both sides come elemental spirits. From the left, gnome-like beings with steel-gray bodies, smaller than men. They are nearly all head, but this is bent forward and downward. Their limbs are long and mobile, deft in gesturing, but clumsy for walking. From the right come sylph-like figures, slender and almost headless. Their feet and hands are something between fins and wings. Some of them are blue-green, others yellow-red. The yellow-red ones are distinguished by sharper outlines. The blue-green ones are less distinct. The words spoken by these figures are accompanied by expressive gestures developing into a dance. Chorus of gnome spirits. We harden, we strengthen the earth stuff's dusty glimmer. We loosen, we powder the stark, hard-crusted strata. What's firm, we quickly crumble. What's loose, we slowly harden with bodies built of spirit, spun out of stuff of intellect that were already clever when human souls, still sleeping at Earth's beginning, lay a-dreaming. Chorus of sylph spirits. We weave, we unravel the web of air and water. We sever, we scatter the quickened sun strength in the seed. With skill we densen powers of light, erase the ripening forces, wisely with bodies built of soul, outflowing from the beams of feeling, which ever-living glimmer that human beings living enjoy the sense of Earth's becoming. Chorus of gnome spirits. We chuckle, we snicker, we banter, we grimace, when human senses stumbling and human spirits tumbling, behold what we have fashioned, and think they wisely understand what spirits of our age's time can conjure for their stupid staring. Chorus of sylph spirits. We foster, we cherish, we ripen, we hover, when human children, dawning life-word and aged gray beards weaving error, consume what we have labored, and childlike or gray-haired, within time's current dimly relish, what in eternity we ponder. These spirit beings collect into irregular groups in the background and remain there visible. From the left appear the three soul forces, Philea, Astrid, and Luna, with the other Philea. Philea. They radiate brightness as love-giving light rays to blissful a-ripening. So gently they warm, and so mightily heat where growing is ready to quicken to life, that quickened and livening those souls will enchant who surrender in love to the radiant light. Astrid. They weave on the living as helpers creative in upwelling beings. They shatter the soil and densify breezes, that change may be seen in striving creating, that striving creating give joy to those spirits who feel themselves weaving in life that's creating. Luna. They cumber with forethought as active creators the formative substance. They sharpen the edges and flatten the surface to shape in wise measure the uprising forms, that uprising forms enrapture willed purpose, to shape in wise measure as active creators. The other Philea. They gather the blossoms as carefree availers in spellbinding magic. They dream of the true and hold the delusion that seeds still asleep might waken to life, and wakening, dreaming reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being. The four soul forces disappear toward the right side. Johannes, who has been in deep meditation during the preceding events, arises out of it. Johannes. And wakening, dreaming reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being. These are the words which sound still clearly within my soul, while all that I beheld before has in confusion disappeared. When I consider the enchanted weaving of my own being, what power stirs in me? He falls again into meditation. There appears before him as his own thought form a group consisting of the spirit of Johannes' youth, Lucifer at its left side, the soul of Theodora at its right. The spirit of Johannes' youth. The life of your desires nourishes my life. My breath drinks thirstily your youthful dreams. I am alive as long as you refuse to enter worlds which I can never find. But should you lose me in yourself, I would in pain do evil service to grim shadows, preserver of my being. Do not forsake me.
Lucifer. Forsake you he will not. I can perceive desires for light within his depths, desires which cannot take the path Maria takes.
If his desires with self-engendered glory turn their full light on his creative soul, the fruit they bear he will not wish to waste within the realm where love holds sway, but love deprived of beauty. His self no more will seem of worth to him, should it, by setting too much store by knowledge, throw all his better forces to the shades. When wisdom lightens up in his desires, their value will be gloriously revealed. As long as these desires remain in darkness, will they appear to him of little worth. Until they can attain the light of wisdom, I will be your protector through the light that I can find innate in souls of men.
Till now he lacks compassion for your pain. He lets you sink into the realm of shades while lifting up himself to heights of light. And then he can forget that you, his child, must lead a woeful, spellbound life. But henceforth at your side you will have me. When you are chilled as shadow by his guilt, I will exert the rites which Lucifer...
At the word Lucifer, the spirit of Johannes' youth quivers. Holds for himself by law of ancient worlds to capture from Johannes' depths whatever he leaves unguarded in his spirit flight. I'll bring you then this treasure, that it eases the dismal solitude of realms of shade. But only then will you be freed from spell, when he can join himself again with you. He can delay it, but prevent it never, for Lucifer will safeguard Lucifer's rights.
Theodora. You, spirit child, you live Johannes' youth in dismal realms of shades. The soul that guards Johannes bends down lovingly to you from realms imbued with love and filled with light. She will, from spellbound regions, set you free, if from her feelings you will take enough to gain existence in pure blessedness. I will ally with you with the elementals, which work unconsciously in worldwide space and ever shun the wakening of souls. With spirits of the earth you'll fashion forms, and with the fire souls will you ray out power, if you will sacrifice your conscious life unto that will which without human wisdom sends forth its light-filled strength. And so shall you preserve the knowledge that is half your own from Lucifer, and to Johannes give the services that are of worth to him. Out of his soul life I will bring to you what makes him crave for your existence and offers him re-quickening spirit sleep.
Lucifer. She never will bestow upon you beauty, for I will pluck it daringly from her.
Theodora. I will from noble feeling bring forth beauty, maturing it by sacrificial deeds.
Lucifer. She will, from free will, tear you and will yield you to spirits holding sway in darknesses.
Theodora. I will awaken vision filled with spirit, which is at last set free from Lucifer.
Lucifer, Theodora, and the spirit of Johannes' youth disappear. Johannes, awakening out of his musing, sees the other Philea approaching him.
The other Philea. And wakening, dreaming, reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being.
Johannes. You, mysterious spirit, through your words I stepped into this world, and only one of all its wonders is important to my soul, the shade who sought to show himself to me with Theodora and with Lucifer. Is he in spirit realms a living being?
The other Philea. He lives, awakened to a seeming life through you. As mirrors show in image form what light allows to cast upon their surfaces,
so must be mirrored livingly in realms of half-awakened shadow spirits, all you behold in spirit realms, before maturity gives you the right to it. Johannes. Only an image is mirrored thus through me? The other Philea. Yet one that lives and keeps its hold on life as long as you preserve within yourself a lived-out life, which you indeed can numb, but which as yet you cannot overthrow. Johannes, your awakening will be delusion until you liberate yourself, the shadow being on whom your guilt bestows a spellbound life. Johannes, what thanks I owe this spirit, who brings truth and counsel to my soul? I must obey. The curtain falls slowly while the other Philea and Johannes remain standing quietly. The end of scene 2.